as was written. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. And this goes back to many examples, but particularly the example that was read earlier in 2 Samuel chapter 22, after the defeat of the Philistines and the deliverance from Saul, from the hands of Saul, where David recognizes that the wicked cannot touch him. Why? Because he has all confidence that Yahweh will be with him. Though an host encamp around me, he says, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Brothers and sisters, there's wars around us, there's wars within us. There's wars within our ecclesias, there's wars within our own selves. War of the flesh. Are we confident? Are we confident? Are we putting Yahweh as our light and our salvation? That we fear not what men shall do unto us. So we see these first three verses of chapter 27, where David exemplifies his confidence in his faith in Yahweh. How important it is that we also exemplify our confidence in Yahweh. Turn to me, please, to Isaiah chapter 60, the 19th and 20th verses of chapter 60 of Isaiah. Where it speaks about the light of Yahweh and the light of his salvation. Verse 19 of chapter 60 of Isaiah, the prophet says, the sun shall be no more thy light by day. Now we look around us today. Yahweh has blessed us with a sunny day. And even some of the brethren commented to me that I brought some of Texas weather with me. And I didn't bring it. Yahweh provided it. He provided it by his mercy and his goodness. And it is these things that when we see, we recognize the goodness of Yahweh towards us. Neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for Yahweh shall be thine everlasting light. And the days of thy mourning shall be ended. And the prophet goes on in verse 21. Thy people shall be also like all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of thy plant, of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Here we see the prophet exemplifying the brightness and goodness of Yahweh. A very important exhortation to us. He goes on in verse 4. One thing have I desired of Yahweh, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life. And isn't it one of the main themes of these Psalms this weekend? That I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life. Very important for us. And once we have this confidence that David showed in the first three verses of this chapter, we can say ourselves that we seek to dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of our lives. To behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. What a sight, brothers and sisters. What a picture David has painted to us in these songs. And here in verse 5, David goes through the confidence that he has in Yahweh, the shelter that he sees in our Heavenly Father. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now that word rock comes from the Young's. From the Young Concordance's translated word rock from the word zur, T-S-U-R. And it just means basically what it is, a foundation, a rock. For in the time of trouble, he says, he shall hide me in his pavilion, or he shall hide me in his covering. The word there is covering, in his pavilion. So Yahweh will cover David in his time of trouble. In our times of trouble, brothers and sisters, do we seek Yahweh's covering? Or do we seek our own covering? Do we seek in the secret of his tabernacle to hide us from the troubles that come upon us? Because sometimes the troubles in our lives can be very, very heavy. And in these times, do we seek Yahweh's covering? Do we seek his blessing? Do we seek Yahweh when the going gets tough? Or do we try to figure it out to do it on our own? Do we seek our own strength to take care of the trouble that befall us each and every day of our lives? The troubles and the trials that come upon us. Do we turn to Yahweh, or do we turn to our own devices? Because if we turn to Yahweh, he will set us upon a rock, just like he did with David. As in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 47, where David again, speaks on this very, very vital message here. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 47. Yahweh liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the Elohim of the rock of my salvation. He is the foundation of David's life. Is he the foundation of our lives? Is he the one that we stand with or stand in our times of trouble? Let us examine ourselves about these points, brothers and sisters. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Not lifted up in pride. Not lifted up in boasting. Because we know that boasting is not one of the characteristics that God wants of us. We are to be humble. But when he lifts up our head above our enemies, they shall see that we are of a different kind. We are holy, separate unto God. This is what David is speaking about. Where he stands and lifts his head up, his head is lifted up. He doesn't lift it up himself. Notice he says, Now shall mine head be lifted up. Not that I shall lift up my head, but that my head be lifted up. So therefore is an external force that lifts David's head above his enemies. From the preceding verse, and that force is that rock, which you just read in 47 verse of 2 Samuel 22. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. The book of Matthew brings another comparison in this sacrifice of joy in Matthew chapter 9. And verse 14. Where the disciples of John question why is it that Christ's disciples do not fast like they do. Verse 14 of chapter 9 of Matthew. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. So what is the same? We can compare this to sacrifices of joy when we shall be with our Lord and Master and be in his temple and his tabernacle. And the sacrifices of joy of being married, finally, the marriage supper of the Lamb taking place in that last day. when the sacrifices, when we shall offer these sacrifices of joy. And he goes on, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Yahweh. In Psalm 147, we kind of get a picture of what David would sing unto Yahweh. Psalm 147 says, praise ye Yahweh, for it is good to sing praises unto our Elohim, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Yahweh doth build up Jerusalem, he gathered together all cast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bind up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Aden and of great power, his understanding is infinite. Yahweh lifted up the meek. He casted the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto Yahweh with thanksgiving. Sing praises. Sing praise upon the harp unto our Elohim. What words of praises does David write that we should sing praises unto Yahweh? He goes on, hear, O Yahweh, when I cry with my voice, verse 7 of chapter 27. Have mercy upon me and answer me. Now, while I was reading this verse, it kind of reminds me of how we interact with each other. When we tell our children, I love you, and our children return the favor, I love you too. How soothing is it to us, those of us who are parents? Those are things that we crave naturally. And here David is amplifying it towards Yahweh. I cry with my voice. Have mercy on me and answer me. Answer me that your mercies will be upon me. It's kind of what David is trying to say here. He wants to hear Yahweh acknowledging that he is merciful unto him. Because it gives him comfort in himself knowing that Yahweh is forever with him. While he has the confidence that Yahweh is with him, as he said in the first three verses. But sometimes he wants to hear it. And we, in a lot of sense, wants to hear the acknowledgement of our Father. And we hear it in the words that we read, the fellowship that we have, and the things that are brought out before us as examples of Yahweh's mercy and grace towards us. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart saith unto thee, thy face, Yahweh, will I seek. Brother David, yesterday, went into great detail about seek ye thy face, seek ye my face, the commands of Yahweh in Psalm 24. And verse 6, this is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. A time of pausing and a time of reflection, seeking Yahweh's face. And here David says, in my heart, and my heart said unto thee, my face, Yahweh, thy face, Yahweh, will I seek. And we also should seek Yahweh's face. As we read these words and as we remember the many goodness of Yahweh that David points out in this song. Hide not thy face, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. David knows the power of Yahweh. David recognizes the power of Yahweh. And in this verse, I think he's begging Yahweh not to put him away in anger. David sinned. He was a man after God's own heart, but he sinned. And his house was in turmoil for the rest of his life. We know the story. We read it in the readings. So David pleads with Yahweh, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Neither forsake me, O Elohim of my salvation. Are these our words? Are these our words when we feel like we're alone? When we feel like the cares of this life has been overwhelming to us? Whatever circumstances befall us in our lives? Do we cry unto Yahweh, leave me not, neither forsake me, O Elohim of my salvation? For when my father and my mother forsake me, then Yahweh will take me up. Here David further goes into the importance of Yahweh not forsaking him. Because even his father and mother will forsake him. As Christ reminds us, when he came upon the earth, he said, I come not to bring peace, but to bring a division. I will set a father against his son, a mother against her daughter. A man's enemy shall be those of his own household, Christ tells us. For we know that we cannot trust in man. What is man that thou put thy trust in him? Isn't he but flesh that decay? It's only Yahweh and his goodness is able to take us up. Teach me thy way, O Yahweh. Lead me in a plain path. Or is, as is rendered in the margin, the path of plainness because of mine enemies. Because of the enemies that are round about David, he pleads to Yahweh to teach him his ways. Do we plead to Yahweh when we are overcome by our own enemies? We're not talking about necessarily about enemies of outside of the truth. We're talking about enemies within ourselves. The sin in the flesh, of others, as Paul would point out, O wretched man that I am. That which I should do, I do not. That which I wouldn't, that I do. The Apostle Paul cries. Those are the enemies. They're within and they're without. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witness have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. And here David cries unto Yahweh to deliver him. Deliver him from the enemy of Saul, the enemy of the Philistines. The enemies that seek his hurt and his destruction. We have the same enemies, as I said before. The sin in the flesh that reigns in our members is an enemy of against our spiritual side. And oftentimes it is risen up. And it is at those times and at all times that we should turn to Yahweh to ask Him to deliver us from the enemies. From the false witness. People in David's time were carrying a lot of false news about David, lying to David, about David actually, to destroy him. And here David cries to Yahweh to seek to deliver him from his enemies. And as we read earlier in 2 Samuel chapter 22, that he did deliver him, and he wrote the song that was written earlier. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. David believed to see the future. So should we also believe and to see the future of Yahweh in the land of milk and honey, as it is portrayed in the Exodus. Land flowing with milk and honey. We don't see any land flowing with milk and honey today. All we see is blood. You read the news, bloodshed worldwide. This is no land of the living, it's the land of the dead. So we know our hope is in the future, when our Lord and Master returns to set up His kingdom. It says, wait on Yahweh. Be of good courage. Strong words. powerful words. As Moses gave the commandments to Joshua before he crossed into the land of promise, there was a similar advice given to Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Read verses 3, verses 5 and 6. Actually, we start with the first verses to get a full picture of what Moses was speaking, the words unto Israel and unto Joshua. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old at this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also Yahweh hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Yahweh thy Elohim, he will go over before thee. And he will destroy those nations before thee. And thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as Yahweh had said. And Yahweh said unto them, as he did to Shihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And Yahweh shall give them up before your face, and he shall, and that he may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. So this is the advice that Moses has given to the children of Israel, and mainly to Joshua. And then he says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, be not afraid of them. Be not afraid of the enemy. Fear not, he says. For Yahweh your Elohim, he that is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people into the land of which Yahweh had sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And I think that is a twofold exhortation there. Be strong and of good courage that we inherit the land. And it's an exhortation to us that we should be strong in the truth. We should be of good courage, confidence in the truth. That we know that it is our light and our salvation. We have nothing to fear. That we may inherit the land of the living. That we may inherit the land flowing with milk and honey. The land that today that they're fighting over. We know from the news that the Medes or the Iranians are now building up their army with the help of the Russian, the king of the north. We see it in right before our very eyes. The plan and purpose of Yahweh being fulfilled. We see the downfall of the Babylon. When Saddam Hussein was in power, he said, I will again rise the kingdom of Babylon. And we know that will never happen because our Heavenly Father said in His words of Scripture that the kingdom of Babylon shall never be again, shall never rise. So now we look and we see the picture of the Middle East. Iran has no obstacles at this point to cross over and go and invade the land of Israel. And it is these things, when we see them, we look and we shall wait on Yahweh. Our brother Arthur pointed this out to us earlier this morning. Wait on Yahweh and be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on Yahweh. Brothers and sisters, I think this last verse points to us, especially when David wrote these words in this song, that we should wait on Yahweh. When Joshua first crossed over into the land in the book of Joshua chapter 1. There's a very, very, in my personal reading, it's one of my most favorite chapters. Because I think it's one of the greatest exhortation that we can gather from this, from the whole plan and purpose of God. Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, it came to pass that Yahweh spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards going out under the sun, shall be your coast. Here's the exhortations coming up. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant command thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Can I say anything more in those verses? It's very clear. He goes on, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. This is the only success that we have. It's through obeying the law of God. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. We look around us, the world is in a sense of dismayed. Everybody is dismayed around us. We know that. We see it. But he comforts us as he comforts Joshua. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for Yahweh thy Elohim is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And he goes on. Brothers and sisters, how much more can we really want to hear when these words are written before us? Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, be not dismayed. Contend earnestly for the faith, as it is written. For Yahweh thy Elohim is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David was a good songwriter, the greatest, I think. And his words are his words that we studied this weekend. It is hoped that whatever the words that were said earlier and tonight may sink into our hearts, that we will be of good courage, and that we wait on Yahweh. We wait for the time when He shall reveal Himself. He who shall be the mighty ones and shall go up and fill this earth with righteousness, as the prophets have told us. Fill this earth with righteousness as waters cover the sea. May each and every one of us be strengthened by these words, brothers and sisters. May we continue to show the light of Yahweh as our salvation, that we do not fear, that we not fear the enemy, the sin in the flesh that reigns in our members, but we look to Yahweh and we seek His face and we pray to Yahweh to teach us His ways and to lead us in a plain path, because our enemies are around us. And it brings to mind another psalm that David wrote Psalm 137. Now we'll close with the reading of the first 4 or 5 verses of this psalm. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, and we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they carried us away captive, requiring of us a song. And they that wasted us required us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And you ask, why did Brother Bob bring up that particular psalm? Well, if we look at it in symbol, are we not by the rivers of Babylon? Are we not by the rivers of oppression? Are we not by the rivers of sin? And when we sit by these rivers, the rivers of sin that compasses us every day, are we weeping to remember Zion? Are we forgetting Jerusalem? Or should we not always remember Jerusalem? Verse 5. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. Do we forget Jerusalem, the city of the great king? We want to sit by the rivers of sin. Sit by the rivers of Babylon. Remember Zion. When we remember Zion, the coming of the Lord, the setting up of the kingdom, where it says, Zion's king, the hymn, Zion's king shall reign victorious, all the earth shall own his sway. Do we weep in our hearts and minds when we remember the goodness of Yahweh? It's up to us, brothers and sisters, that we put Yahweh as our light and salvation, that we not fear the enemy, the sin of the flesh that reigns in our members.